Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we're recapping a lot of things. We're catching up. It's been a minute. We missed you guys, and I hope you missed us. We got a lot of things on the slate. X-Men 97, The Bad Batch, Invincible. So much awesome stuff's going on, and we're going to cover a lot of it here today. And I'm super excited. Just like Asajj Ventress, we're making our grand return here with Tommy. Tommy, how's it going?
Good. And just like X-Men 97, we are also making our grand return. I'm good. It's been a nice break, but there's a lot of good content out right now, Michael, especially in Star Wars. Star Wars and Marvel. It seems like animation is the way to go, I think, is what we're learning.
No, seriously. And I texted you this. I was like, this is kind of like the renaissance of like Star Wars animation, like the things that we care about as far as in animation form. I mean, it's booming right now. There's so much to cover. We've taken some time away, but it's also like, I think it's for the better too, where like, we're not forcing ourselves to talk about every single boring episode of Bad Batch. We're here to talk about the overview and the fact that like, here are the highlights, you know? So I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's honestly making me want to go back. There's a show we missed, is the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. I want to go back and watch that now because I think I just underestimated the power of these Marvel animation shows.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about that show. It was my impression that that's like way more catered to kids though. So I don't know.
Oh, okay. So maybe I won't like it.
I mean,
or maybe I will.
That was my impression. I didn't even watch it. I mean, adults can like kids shows too, even so.
That's true. But this is all to say that we're excited to talk about this stuff, and we're excited I'm excited to see you, Michael. That's really the key of all of it.
Yeah, I'm excited to catch up, Tommy. And this will be fun. Where do you want to go for? I mean, I guess do you have like a preference? Like what? I mean, we're going to be all over the place. So if there's something you want to start off with, by all means.
Let's see. Let's start with Bad Batch. That's been our bread and butter. Listen, I think we need to start off with Bad Batch because I have an apology to give to Bad Batch.
Oh, let's go. I'm excited.
I wrote you off. This being said, your second season was pretty bad. And I think if you would have just taken the meat of the second season, put it into your third and first season, and we just do two seasons, you would be one of the best shows. Because this third season has been great, Michael. I've been enjoying the ride because we're focused on a plot. We have a direct mission that we're trying to do, and it's all focused on Omega. I'm Team Omega now. I always was like, what's up with this? It's great. I love what they're doing with the concept. Obviously, it's giving us the information we need about Palpatine that we've been looking for, the information on the clones, like Wolf coming up. I love what they're doing over there.
Yeah, I think it's firing on all cylinders. Here's the thing. I'm going to make a comparison. This might be a deep plug for a lot of people. But Australian Survivor, right? They have more episodes than they do people on the show. So they often have to have episodes that just don't have anything to do with it. And I kind of get that vibe. Even when Bad Batch is at its best, I kind of get the vibe that I'm like, I think you guys were like mandated too many episodes for the story you actually have. And like, there's still a couple episodes in here that I was like, not doing it. Other than that, like, yes, like really like the Palpatine stuff. Here's the other thing. And I want to get your opinion on this because at this point, I don't know who is going to be surprised by like a lot of the cloning stuff they're doing. The M count that was like such like a mysterious thing, but everyone knows what that is. Like, it kind of feels like they're spinning their wheels a little bit, and they just need to get to that reveal because we all know it's coming. I guess we don't know the specifics, but like we know he's cloning for, you know, whether it's Snoke or his clones or whatever. I mean, it's not really a surprise, I guess.
And I feel like that's something Star Wars does struggle with at times with their TV shows, is they have a concept that's really good, but they don't do the Netflix strategy of like, okay, maybe it's just 8 episodes. Maybe the series is just, and that's fine. We don't need to fill out the whole series. And I think Clone Wars was very similar. If I remember, Rebels wasn't. I think Rebels was like, very, you know, everything had story purpose for each episode. And some people love that kind of stuff. Some people like episodic. There's, you know, we could get into the logistics of it all. If it's shown on Disney Channel, there's a whole thing of like, they need content. As opposed to the streaming, it doesn't matter how many episodes you have because you're not trying to fill a block. And that's a big thing of, you know, back to get a little nerdy, back in the 2000s, like, a lot of times you saw more episodic animation because you're feeling Nickelodeon needs to just fill a block, and kids will come in and out of episodes, and you don't want them to have to worry about a constant storyline. So you're just trying to give them, you know, 30 minutes and that's all they care about. So maybe there's a little bit of that going on because it is like for kids still. But I'm think they're on the right track. This season so far, everything has felt like we're all systems go.
Yeah. And not to go back to like another complaint, because again, I really have enjoyed this. I thought it's a lot of fun, but I think the biggest thing that Bad Batch kind of doesn't do perfectly is they have these episodes where they need to get from point A to point B. And that episode is about getting to the one thing, right? And that's not like, I feel like if we're talking like what shows did that really well, Game of Thrones, right? There would be like characters that go on missions for three episodes to get to a certain location. But like all the stuff in there is like really interesting, like interesting character stuff. But like, I don't always get that with Bad Batch. Again, I don't want to like lead too much on like complaints here, but.
No, but you have a good point with Game of Thrones. They didn't always do it. When they did it, it's because they're trying to build out character development or they're trying to build a relationship out. Look at Arya, you know, spoilers on Game of Thrones. Who knew this was going to happen? But Arya and the Hound, you showed that travel time because you wanted to build out that relationship. Then there's other times they just cut to, all right, we're at King's Landing. We don't need to see the entire how long it took months to get there. And I think that's where like Bad Batch needs to pick and choose. There's entire episodes where it's like, it's one thing that happens, but it takes 30 minutes for it to happen. It's like, maybe we could, you know, pick and choose how long we're spending on some of this. It's something I learned with D&D, you know, in D&D, sometimes it is fun to have a session that's entirely just traveling. Then there's other times my players are like, hey, we want to get to the action. Like, let's get going. I don't need to worry about, you know, sleeping and eating and traveling. Like, let's get right into it. So I think they're getting there. Obviously, it's the last season, so I think also it's like, hey, we don't need to fill the time anymore. We can get out all of our story.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about this because this, for me, kind of like the highlight of the season thus far is the return of one of my favorite characters, Asajj Ventress. And Tommy, I don't even know if you're aware, but it comes with some controversy that she's back. Did you know about this?
I knew that she was out there, but I also knew I am not surprised there's controversy because I think it's a character that, like, with any of that, her and I think Maul both, there's always controversy when they're brought up because, like, they're just thrown in and then they're out and then they're thrown in and out. So tell me about it.
Yeah, so there was a book called The Dark Disciple where she teams up with Quinlan Vos, who's a Jedi from the Clone Wars. I read the book. It's a really good book, but Asajj dies at the end of the book. To be honest, I don't remember how she died. I need to go look that up. But I think when people saw her in the trailer, they're like, all right, come on, Star Wars is on their shit. Like, I think like deep Star Wars fans are like, yeah, the books matter. We care about the books. They're part of the canon. Like, you can't just retcon that stuff. So I think it did come with, I believe the creators have come out and said they're going to explain how she's still alive. And I do like that there was a line from her that was like, I still have a couple more lives left, you know, like she is kind of like this character. And then guess what? That's Star Wars. People come back to life. You know, it just, they retcon things all the time. It is what it is.
And listen, she's a really cool female anti-hero, she's so complex. Give me more of that. I want more. So it's like, I hear you about the book readers. I think it's hard because obviously the majority, I don't want to say the majority don't read the books, but it's like the general public is not going to read the books. So they're not going to know that's true. And we've seen time and time again, they completely retcon things that happen in some of the books. They say the books aren't canon. And I get that that's frustrating for someone who reads the books, who is invested in that stuff. That's very frustrating. I think if it's worth it, then do it, right? Like, don't, if you kill Cad Bane in the book and then you bring him back just to show me a TV show and then you kill him 2 minutes later, it's like, all right, well, what's the point? You know, and obviously it's not exactly right, but it's like, what's the point? But if you're going to actually use Ventress for this thing, I think this Ventress Omega relationship is very interesting to me. And I'm very excited to see like maybe a little darker Omega. Like, come on, I'm into it. So I think there's a point to bringing her back in this.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree. So, and like, again, I love the character. So like, I'm really not going to complain. I just thought it was so interesting, so compelling about how like there were these two people that were on opposite sides of a war and they've come together now. And I really like that dynamic. We kind of get, I mean, this has been touched on obviously throughout this season, especially with the M count and everything. It sounds like it's confirmed at this point. Like, we always said, like, oh, she might become a Jedi, whatever. She might be Force sensitive. It seems like it's confirmed. She's definitely going to be a Jedi.
Yeah. Well, or she, I'm, there's not, there's a part of me that thinks she might lose. There's a part of me that thinks, like, and you know, we, it's hard because we get things out of context, right? Or out of timeline. We know at some point Palpatine succeeds on the cloning. We know that happens. We don't know how, and it's like, okay, is the M count away, or do they give up on this solution? And I don't know, and that kind of excites me because of that, because I would be very sad if at the end of this Omega, we want to see the Omega in the Bad Batch ride off into the sunset and live a great life. Are they gonna make it sad, Michael? That's the question.
I actually have no faith. Like, I think that makes sense. But I have no faith that that's going to happen. I think Omega is going to be around for a long time. I think, I don't know what, that's going to be my next question to you, is where do we go after the season? But Dave Filoni does not get rid of his characters. I mean, this was a conversation back in the Clone, when the Clone Wars was coming out and Ahsoka was introduced, everyone was like, oh, well, Ahsoka has to die by the end of Clone Wars or it won't make sense. But they found a way to explain it. And yeah. Dave Filoni didn't want to kill Ahsoka, so he didn't, and he made it make sense. And I have a feeling that he'll do that again with Omega.
Are we going to get a Jedi school of Grogu, Omega? We get Ezra in there. We just get this, like, bring in every one of Dave's characters. He just can't let go of them. He reminds me of anime creators. They hate killing their darlings. I mean, I would be, listen, as goofy as that is, I would be into, like, Grogu hanging out with Omega.
No, I think we definitely talked about this, especially around the time of Ahsoka, with just all of these different Jedis out there, even from the video games as well. It's like there are Jedis everywhere at this time. And, like, I think for a long time we're like, oh, it's just Luke. But no, there's an entire world. And I do wonder how they'll pull it all together. It is interesting that this is the final season, though, because I feel like there is still a lot of story to tell with these characters. Yeah. And do you feel like they're going to wrap everything up really nice and a nice bow? Again, I just, for me, the way this stuff goes, I'm like, okay, this is the Clone Wars and we'll get a Rebels later, is my opinion. Like, are we going to get another show, another spinoff of this one where we kind of close out these stories and that one?
No, I think they're going to wrap it up, because I think they heard the criticisms. And the problem is, it just, the concept was cool. It just, I think people were. I think people were really critical of the beginning of Bad Batch, of like, what's the point of this? And I think we've now seen the point of this. Like, we're getting to the idea of these clones rebelling. I'm excited to see, like, what happens with Rex and Wolf. Maybe we see a Rex spinoff. Maybe we see a Rex, Wolf, and that group of people. I could see that. I could all, like, in order to do that, I could see the Bad Batch dying. I could see the Bad Batch dying and Omega, like, living. But I also am with you where it's like, at the end of the day, even though that's a cool storyline, I don't know if Star Wars would do that, because it is very, very sad. And we've already lost some of the Bad Batch. That being said, I think it will wrap up nicely, in the sense that I think we'll get a resolution with Omega. We'll be able to know what happens there. I think she gets reunited with her sister. I think those two link up at some point again, obviously, going forward. And maybe they get taken in by the Bad Batch. Again, if the Bad Batch do die, maybe that's those two link up and they go off into sunset. Maybe they meet up with another group of sisters. Everyone's favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm excited. The Wolf has really get me. I, like, when I saw him, I was like, oh, it makes sense. Like, we didn't know that that was a thing, and we knew he was also, like, part of the evil group for a bit. I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying what I'm watching.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I know you've struggled with Bad Batch, and here you are, and I think they can accept your apology.
It was just a random side quest. Like, if all this was happening, we got an entire scene where we were able to do Mission to Sid, like. You know, I think they could have cut that in half, because if there is this urgency, and obviously they didn't know that she had the M count, and obviously she was being protected, but it felt like almost two different shows now.
Yeah, for sure. What else on the Bad Batch you want to touch on before we move along?
I think Crosshairs is one of my favorite characters. Out of all the Bad Batch, he has an interesting storyline. I love what they're doing with his hand and like this, like he can't even do what he's known for anymore. I think that's so interesting. I suppose you have Hunter that I still don't understand like what the point of Hunter is. It was kind of to be a dad, but they kind of have dropped that. Wrecker's obviously great because he's just Wrecker. But yeah, I think Crosshairs, I was honestly surprised how much they were able to make this guy such a complex character now.
Yeah, no, that's really well said. I mean, I feel like this has been a conversation that we've had since the first season. Like, a lot of these characters are kind of like, you know, there's kind of two characters that serve the same purpose, or one character that just we don't really understand why they need to be there other than just to have a batch. That being said, we do have a new member of the group. What do you think about Batcher?
I mean, you bring a pet into any group. How could you? I do like that this is not what happened, but it's like, all right, we get rid of Tech, bring in Batcher. But no, I mean, Batcher's great. I love the storyline there. I think it did really good of showing again. One thing about Omega that I think is, I don't know if forgotten because they definitely push it, is her caring. Like, she has such compassion and such, she wasn't built for war like the other clones. And I think that's something that's really important going forward, is this compassion that we see in Omega. In every sense, like, she didn't give up on Crosshairs. She didn't give up on Batcher. Who else won't she give up on?
Yeah, yeah.
The sister.
Well, exactly. I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be a peaceful resolution there. She seems too brainwashed.
She left the toy, though. There was small signs of, like, Emery brought the toy back. Omega was worming her way in.
Yeah, you're right.
Just like Order 66, she was worming her way in the brain.
Yep. Okay, Tommy, I think we can put a cherry on the Bad Batch here. I say we talk about, you know, for every Star Wars show, we get a Marvel show. X-Men 97, baby. And I feel like, I'll be honest, this show, I've really enjoyed it. It's taken me by surprise. Like it way more than I thought I would. But it still kind of feels like a passive show to me. Like, I don't know that I have like a whole lot of opinions as much, especially because here's the other thing, maybe shocking to some people. I did not watch the original series at all. So like, I'm kind of coming in on the back foot. I was a big X-Men Evolutions guy. That was my X-Men that I grew up with. But yeah, I'm curious, where are you coming in with X-Men at this point?
I really like it. I have watched a lot of the original. I'm still watching it. One thing that you need to know about like X-Men, the animated show, it came out during a time where there's a guy, Chris Claremont, who was like making the comics, and it was very much like a soap opera. Like, it's dramatic. You got Storm with her giant from wind and rain, and you know, you have Jean Grey fainting and yelling Scott all the time. You have like, it's a dramatic show, and kind of cheesy, but that's kind of like what you loved about it. And that being said, it also like tackled so many iconic X-Men storylines. Like, season one already dealt with Days of Future Past, already dealt with Apocalypse, already did like Sentinels, all these huge things that you'd be like, that would be built around a whole season in modern day. They're not afraid to do like, oh, here's an episode, we're going to resolve the whole thing. And I think with this show, I think they have a lot of that characteristic in it, in X-Men 97. I also think they're doing better of like giving character development. I saw a tweet that was really good, and it was talking about how X-Men 97 is a really good study in sending characters we know well on journeys that challenge their core values. You got Storm, who's a god. What if she wasn't a god anymore? You got Rogue, who craves touch. What if we give her touch? What if she's able to finally have that experience? Magneto is someone who kills. What if he finally has to show mercy? And you have Cyclops, who leads. What if he has to follow? And I think those things is what I am appreciating about the show. Is like, it could, at its surface, just give us these storylines, give us these characters, whatever. But it's putting them in uncomfortable positions that we now get to see them challenge what we know them for.
Yeah, no, super well said. And I think that was my big takeaway. And like, kind of the swings and something I didn't expect from the show, especially like coming in with like, you know, Magneto's not a villain. Like, that's something that, like, I wasn't expecting. It wasn't on my bingo card. And, like, I think they're doing it in really cool ways. And they're able to also, like, I think the awesome thing about, like, there's a lot of, like, memes on TikTok about, like, how the X-Men has gone woke or whatever. But, like, they still stay true to, like, the original conceit of the X-Men, which is, like, a parallel to, like, social justice issues that were going on at the time and even still going on today. And the fact that they were able to keep that theme, I think, is really important to, like, the core of what the X-Men is, while also giving us really cool stories, really cool characters.
And we probably need it now more than ever. Like, you're right. Like, the big thing about the X-Men anime show, on top of what I said, was what you just said, is it handled topical things. It also forced you to try to question your own values. And I think episode 2 is such a great episode at doing that. I mean, look at Twitter. Like you were saying, people, there's a part in episode 2 where there's a man who comes in to attack Magneto, and he's giving a speech about how he's so sick of people whining. He's so sick of, you know, they have it bad, but so do I, a white man. And Twitter, of course, was like, wait, this guy actually has points. And, like, if that's how you feel, this is why you need to watch that show. Because it's like, if you believe that you're on the same points as minorities as a white male, you're just not. They're starting so much, you know, not to be, this is a woke podcast, but it is, like, you're starting so far back. Like, it is so frustrating that people walked away from that episode being like, you know what, I agree with that guy.
This is not the point.
Yeah. But I really like that episode of Magneto. First of all, the hair. Oh, my gosh. I love his hair.
Tommy, there is so much thirsting for this show. I mean, there's, like, I'm seeing, like, you know, some, like, really interesting fan art of Gambit, you know, with the crop top. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's not a sexual show by any means, but the internet has made it so.
I mean, did you watch episode 3 with Amanda and Pryor? That got a little steamy.
That's fair.
Fire made flesh. Wowie. But no, there's a lot of thirsting going on in this show. But Magneto's lines too, when he brings up the senders or the group and they go up into space and you're like, oh shoot, what's he going to do? And his, you know, he's just spitting straight facts. That dialogue was so well done. And him being like, don't make me have to be evil again. Essentially, like, he said it way better than I just did, but it was such a good line of like, you don't even give us a chance. We're just trying to live. We're not even trying to rule you now. Like, I am trying to do what Charles Xavier, and we'll get into it all of, like, do we believe Magneto? I don't know. I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, but he's selling me. He's selling me the Kool-Aid. Like, I believe that he believes right now. He's giving it one last try to believe in Xavier's belief because he died. And this idea of, like, we're not asking to rule you. We're just asking to have a seat at the table and just and be equals. It's literally all we're asking for.
Yeah, no, it would feel kind of cheap though for them to give us the hero Magneto only for him to regress again and be bad. Wouldn't you think? Or like, what's the more compelling story here?
I think he will revert at some point. I don't think it will be like he planned it all along. I think his intentions here are genuine. And I think if it's evil mustache Magneto plant like was tricking them, I would be mad. But if it's like, no, humans do eventually prove him right, and he just is like, all right, that's it, I throw in the towel, like, you, I can't keep doing this. I think that will happen more, and I don't know if it's going to happen this season, but I think that would happen over him just like, I planned this all along.
Man, that was kind of a gut punch when you said this season. I didn't even really consider that. Yeah, there's, this very well could be a multi-season thing. You know, it seemed like, you know, maybe, I guess from my perspective, more so just like a love letter to the original show. But like, to consider this actually being like a long-living thing is exciting.
Well, and rumors are, Michael, that this is not the last of them reviving?
Yeah,
reviving 90s shows. I think so far the success of this show has made them start to look at some of their other properties during this time. Spider-Man and some, you know, and we're getting the Spider-Man high school show, I believe. So I think Marvel's putting a lot of their money into the animation side of things. And I think from this show, I would say rightfully so right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, compared to some of the clunkers we get in live action, for this to even just be like, oh, that's pretty good. Like, that's awesome. That would be awesome for us to have that reaction over a Marvel thing. I want to dive into, and we can come back if we jump around if we need to, but I got to ask you about episode 3, because I got to be honest, episode 3 was kind of like a whirlwind for me. Like, it's a lot. Like, and here's the other thing I respect about it. Like, and again, it's my understanding that the original show was the same way, that like they don't like dumb things down. Like, they give you like high concept sci-fi storytelling here. And like, it kind of broke my brain when I found that there were two Jean Greys. And like everything from there, like it really kind of, it went off the rails, but like in a way that I respected.
Yeah. And so this comes from the comic books where the writer, when Jean dies after Dark Phoenix, right? Like, Jean's gone. And they wanted to give Cyclops like a happy ending. And so they wanted to write off where Cyclops goes back home to his hometown and he meets a girl that looks exactly like Jean Grey.
Oh, Marvel loves to do this. Yeah. Where they're like, well, that person's dead, but here's like the same thing.
Yep. So Madeline Pryor was this thing, and she has they have a kid. Well, the networks, the higher ups were like, well, we don't like that. We want Cyclops back. We want Jean Grey back. Like, you can't just write him off. And so they created this plot line of, no, it's actually a Jean clone. It's all this stuff. And but what they did with it was, obviously, it was to fix what they saw as a mistake. It is complex because you don't know when Jean left. So, like, I love them talking about, like, we don't know what memories are each other's and where it started, where it ended. And it gives a whole different meaning to the original series, too, because you're like, okay, when did that, like, when, which Jean was this? But does it even matter? They're both Jean in their own mind. You know, obviously, she's now Madeline than Pryor, but it's, you're right. It's very high, big brain thinking, and it is overwhelming, but it's like, it's cool. I don't know. I want shows to challenge me more.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I felt challenged. I was like, this is like, I didn't expect to walk into this episode and have to think this much. Like, again, I was considering it to be a more passive show, and it's really not, which I do appreciate. What's that Bible story about how there's two parents that are like fighting over a baby and they can't decide whose baby it is? So they take the baby to the king, and the king is like, all right, I'm going to cut the baby in half and you can take both halves. And then the real mom is like, oh, she can have the baby, because I don't want the baby to die, because I love the baby, because it's my baby. And that's how they find out that she was the real mother. I'm putting myself in a Cyclops position here, where there's two people. I would be like, you know what? I'm dumping you both. Like, I can't handle this. If you guys can't figure out and agree what's going on here, like, that's, I don't know. Like, I try to like think, like, what would I do? And like, genuinely, that seems crazy.
Well, and that's the thing now. And I think, in a way, I think they'd, in the original series, there was the Wolverine-Cyclops-Jean love triangle. And it was something that always felt kind of forced. It made Wolverine kind of look like a... because he was such a punk about it. He would just, like, blatantly be like, I like Jean. So even though, like, it was very clear Cyclops and Jean were in a relationship. What this has done is it complicates the waters now. Because, like, you... they're not... are they married? Are they not? You can get into logistics of it all. Who did Cyclops fall in love with? Was it Jean or Madeline Pryor? And it is a complex thing. They're definitely going back to that. We're going to see like the Wolverine of it all. You know, we basically got our Snape like always like moment with them. And yeah, I agree with you. It's very like, it's like, you know what? This is too complicated for me. I think I would walk away as well. But we get... we also, to jump to their son, Nathan, you know who that is, right?
No.
I don't have to say if you don't. Nathan is a big character, and this storyline is very exciting. We saw him go off with Bishop into the future to fix this illness. So maybe we'll see what happens to him.
Oh, I think I understand. I'll be honest. And this is the thing. Like, I'm not, I watch X-Men Evolutions, but like That was so long. I don't remember any details from it. Definitely didn't watch the original show. Didn't read X-Men comics. Most of what I understand about the X-Men came from that original X-Men trilogy. So, like, even now, like, what's kind of weird to me is, like, I've always pictured Wolverine as the main character of the X-Men, right? Like, Hugh Jackman, baby. That's my Wolverine. He's like center of the attention and everything. But what's been interesting is, like, no, that's not the case here. He's barely a side character in this. So it is, like, it's interesting. Like, I don't understand a lot of the lore, so a lot of it's a little confusing. If I had to guess, can I make a guess based on my limited knowledge? Is this Cable? You're not going to confirm. That's fine.
I don't want to, you know, it's a good guess. We'll see if it, I want you to be on this journey because I think it's exciting for you. Because, like, these are straight out of the comic books. And I think that's another thing people are loving is, like, the mainstream audience loves the X-Men trilogy. I think a lot of main X-Men comic book people were like, you're ruining this. Like, you're missing the point of the X-Men. You're making Wolverine the big star because Wolverine was marketable. People loved Wolverine from the animated show, and so Wolverine was more money. I mean, it's the same with, like, when we talk about Iron Man. Like, Iron Man was not, like, that popular as a comic book character, but in the mainstream movies, everyone loves Iron. He's now probably the most popular superhero up there, at least.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because, like, when I was growing up before Iron Man, it was like Superman was like he was the superhero, right? And then I think the superhero now is Iron Man. So
yeah, and I think, you know, with that is, like, there is a lot going on. I don't think you need to watch the original series to watch this. There's obviously, I think it helps, like, in episode 3, you get Mr. Sinister, and you get also the complicated relationship with Morph in that. You don't really know what's happening. It's very much dealt with in the original series. That's calling back to, like, all that of, like, Morph died. Mr. Sinister brought him back to be evil and to infiltrate the X-Men. And he kind of had this, like, dual personality of, like, I know what I was, and I also know what he's now putting in, that the X-Men are evil. And it's this complicated thing that he's, you know, you can clearly see there's a lot of trauma and PTSD there of what he experienced. Sorry, I'm getting this completely wrong, and this is my fault. Morph is they, and I need to be better about that.
Yeah, no, that's great. And maybe that's why maybe I felt like it felt like a whirlwind to me. I mean, I would say mostly I haven't noticed. My cat just tried to pull my microphone down. We'll keep that in. that just threw me off. What was I saying? Yeah, I guess when I'm watching, I'm not sure if it's something that's been covered before. When Mr. Sinister showed up, I didn't know. I was like, okay, is this the first time we're seeing this character? I have no. So I guess for me, as somebody who didn't watch it, I'm like, I don't know. So it doesn't matter. Like, for me, it's the first time I'm seeing it. We jump into stories all the time. Shows start in the middle of stories. Stories start in the middle of stories. Not everything happens at the Big Bang, you know, so.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty in this is, like, you are jumping in, and if you want to watch every original series, it's still out there. But I also think they're doing a good job of, you don't need it. You don't need to know that Trask has been around forever, and they've dealt with the Sentinels, they've dealt with Master Mold. Like, they give you enough that you know what you need to know for this series.
Yeah. I lied. I've seen one episode of the X-Men original series because I was also going to end up, I wanted to rewatch it, but there's no way. I did not have the time for that. But I watched the first episode, and what I really liked is the parallels between Jubilee in the first episode and the parallels of, what's his name? I think his superhero name is Sunspot. I might be wrong about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I know Sunspot from the Marvel Snap game. Again, this is my this is my reference point for most X-Men stuff for sure.
I'm, like, quickly trying to find his name for you. Roberto.
Roberto, there we go. Yes. But yeah, I kind of want to go back and rewatch it still though, just because, like, if there are more parallels like that, I want to catch them. I want to clock them. So it's cool.
And it's fun. Like, just imagine, you know, it's the same. The other show we're going to talk Invincible is, like, it's fun to see your comic books come to life and not have them change. Like, it's fun to just see the comic books for what they were. And I think nowadays you get a lot of blend. We, you know, We see that with adaptations. A certain show, Avatar, there's a lot of criticisms of how much they changed and how much they stayed true to the property. I think there's merit to both. I think, you know, you can change as much as you want to change. At the same time, it is fun to see, like, the classics, you know, like, because they were good. They were good stories for a reason. Like, X-Men comics told amazing stories. This Storm storyline, we see her at the, you know, I'm really excited to see how this progresses. We see her meet with, I don't think they said his name yet, so I will not either. But we see her meet with someone at the end of episode 3. I'm excited to see what happens there. I'll tell you, Michael, I'm real excited looking at the title of episode 4, Motendo. I'm very excited to what, you know, it gets my mind thinking of another video game powerhouse that we have in our world. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen there.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that word means nothing to me. So yeah. I'm excited. I'm kind of coming in as a newbie here with some of this stuff. So that's exciting. Anything else on that you want to wrap up with here? I'm trying to think. I think that's about it for me.
No, I think you have a big ensemble. I obviously there's characters I want to see more of. I was a big Beast guy. I would love to see Beast, but even the parts we get, I love him. Like him with like the Jabberwocky, like Fear the Jabberwocky. Like that's Beast. The action has been incredible. Like the scenes are so good. Gambit, poor Gambit, with him dealing with Magneto and Rogue, can't unsee that Shuri. But like, you know, we saw it in the trailer, but him putting his powers onto Wolverine's blades. We saw Bishop taking Cyclops' blast and shooting that off. Like, I love the combo moves. And I think that's something that people don't think about with X-Men. It's like, it's all about combos. Like, that's their whole thing. They're a team. And so I love that they're doing that in this show.
No, absolutely. I think that's my favorite thing about like team superheroes. Like, you know, I feel like we even got it. Like, I mean, we get it. I don't know if it's as rare as it used to be, but like, yeah, I love seeing this stuff when like two, like, yeah, you've got one power. That's great. You can only do so much with it. But when you put them together, you get really inventive. And I think like the writers are having a lot of fun with that. And I appreciate that. And I expect to see more. It seems like that's like a trick in their bag they want to keep using is how they can get inventive with combining these powers, which is awesome.
Yeah, animations evolved with it. And like obviously some of this you can't do in the original series because like it was very hand drawn and in a very different world. We can now, and I love that they're doing that.
Okay. Well, let's transition into Invincible here. And actually I want to reference a scene because based on like hand drawn animation, and Tommy, I know you're not completely caught up. I'm going to spoil you on something. It's not a big deal. It's more of a bit, but I thought it was really interesting. Mark goes to this convention, a comic book convention, and he's talking to an animator, and basically the animator is describing what it's like to create animation. And during that scene, they kind of show what they're talking about. So you'll be like, yeah, sometimes the characters will cover their mouths to, it looks like they're talking, but really they don't have to animate anything for that. And like, there's, sometimes they get really carried away with some of the art and like Mark looks like especially beautiful. Like, I don't know, like that Invincible's doing a lot of fun stuff over there too. So
fun. That's straight out of the comic. They did that in the comic where he goes to this convention and they're like talking about writing comics, and it's like breaking that fourth wall meta of, yeah, in comics you do this because this is easier for, you know, doing a wide shot, you don't have to draw all the details of the people, you kind of just draw a little circle and it's so good, and it's such a classic moment. That's the thing I'm appreciating about Invincible in general. They, you know, it's because he's so heavily involved, the creator, they're paying so much homage to the comic. Things they tweak feel necessary. They're not, and the cheesy moments, the things that people love that are cliche like that, they're putting in. There's one, I think, I'm pretty confident there's one coming that I'm very excited for. I think you will very much like if it happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking of not knowing the backstory to things, like, I was not an Invincible comic person, so, like, a lot of the stuff is just taking me by surprise. And I think what's interesting is, I think you probably have a very clear picture of where we're going, at least, like, I don't know. For me right now, I'm like, who is the big bad? Because I feel like we got a couple different things going on. We get this time traveler dude. I'm really confused about him. They're not focusing on the last two episodes have ended with him like walking out of a portal or like showing up at Mark's house. And it's like, we only get like 5 seconds an episode of this guy. I don't know who he is. Is he the big bad? I don't know. But yeah, the stuff with the Voltrons, that's all really cool. I don't know where we're going, and that's really exciting. Mark's brother, that's the biggest twist that I've seen in a long time. So
you're gonna have to read the comics after this, because I'm excited for you to experience it that way too. That's why I think Invincible was so good. You know, obviously Kirkman knows what he's doing. He did Walking Dead. We saw how incredible that was as a series. I think he learned a lot from the live action experience of making that TV show, and I think going into this, I think there's, you know, obviously it's different, it's animated, but they got that heart of the show, which is, I think, what you're talking about. Mark never sleeps. Like, it always was go, and it wasn't like, I think sometimes in comic books we get into the tradition of like, or not even comic books, TV shows, it's like one season, there's one bad guy, and there's what we're all building to, this one bad guy. That's not how Invincible was. It was like random issues would be like, all right, we're going back to this plot. And then that plot would die for a little bit. So you were always kind of on edge because, yeah, I think what you're talking about with Engstrom is that he was introduced early on in this season. And then he just disappears, and you know he's out there, and it's terrifying because you know he's out there, and we can't worry about it because there's other problems. There's other fires constantly being put in his way. Mark gets called away by his dad, stupid dad, and then, like, it's so much going on. And then, yeah, I think the drop of his brother is such a big moment. In the comics, I was like, what are we doing here? And there's complicated feelings about his dad in general, of course, right? Like, it's like you see remorse. We see that at in episode 4, Nolan's remorse in a sense, but is he really remorseful? Can we fully forgive him? It's so complicated.
Dude, talk about you know, you were talking about your favorite character being Crosshair, and I kind of feel like we get a similar storyline here, and it's not definitely one for one by any means, but there is like are you redeemed? Can you be redeemed? Like, and one second I'm like, okay, maybe I trust him again. And then the next he like does something horrible and now he's gone again. And it's like, damn, you're really a piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, the Viltrumites are made to conquer, the Viltrumites. And I think there was that interesting line where he was like, they made me an emperor. And it's like, what's the difference at a certain point? You're still taking over the planet, but we'll meet a lot more of the Viltrumites. There's some I'm very excited to meet. There's some iconic stuff coming up. I'm excited to hear your journey on it. And this may be something we have to cover more as it keeps going, because it was such a big part. This was, to give a little backstory, this comic was like one of my first, like, I've read comics my whole life. And like, there's certain comics like that mean a lot. Like, I've talked about Civil War means a lot to me because that was the first arc I read, like, from start to finish. Invincible was like the first one that I picked up. Issue one was like, all right, I'm gonna get into this, and then it blew up, and I read from start to finish, and it was one of those series for me. I have a lot of the first editions of those, and it's meant a lot to me to see that journey. And it was like the boys before the boys. I was like on this horse. I'm like, this is what you need to do, is like make realistic superheroes, like deal with the repercussions, deal with the, you destroy an entire city block. Well, that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think what's interesting is I, you know, I guess my first real love in comic that I started at issue one and finished all the way out was The Walking Dead. I got all those comics behind me. Same creator, obviously. You've already mentioned them. And again, I don't know what they're changing. And I sense that it's not much, especially because, like, it sounds like even small bits are still making it in. But like, I think what was interesting about The Walking Dead, it was more like, kind of like the butterfly effect. Like, if one thing changes from the comics, it like continues to snowball and change everything. Like, for instance, Andrea dies early in the show, and now Rick has a spinoff show with Michonne because that's his love, and he wasn't there enough. Like, you know, it was always interesting to see how they changed it, and they definitely changed it a lot, and sometimes for the worse. But I think the idea of that is a lot cooler. And like, if you're gonna adapt something, you know, have some fun with it. Like, what's the point of creating the exact same thing? So I guess that's my question to you, is like, what are we changing a lot here?
From, you know, and it has been a minute since I read the comics, but from what I know, we're at least hitting all the beats. There hasn't been huge change. I think the biggest that I've noticed is I believe Rex dies a lot sooner, and is still out there. So I think he's going to be around. I don't think he's going to die this time. It would be my thought. He was like, dies almost immediately, and then Robot does his thing. But I think they're doing a better job. And that's something I think he learned from. I think he learned with Walking Dead that you can create a lot of plot holes for yourself when you make drastic changes like that. Because Andrea's a huge one. Andrea's the biggest one you think about. It's like, she has such a cool storyline in the comics, and they kind of robbed her of that in the TV show.
Yeah. But then Carol, on the other hand.
Then you have Carol, who got...
She was like a whiny baby that was horrible in the comics. But okay, so let's see. Where do I want to go? I want to... How many episodes behind are you?
I am like 2 episodes behind.
Okay, because there have been some things that have happened that you've referenced already that I'm like for instance, we met what I assume to be a pretty big Viltrumite, this woman with short black hair. I don't remember her name, but she kicks the crap out of Mark.
Yes, Anissa. I know bits because I've looked ahead because I need to know things, but if I got anything wrong, please let me know. But
good so far.
Yes, Anissa is one of the Viltrumites, and she... There will be things with Anissa. I obviously have my feelings about her, but I think the Viltrumites are such a complex character. I mean, what's so interesting about them is it's basically you take Krypton, and it's an evil planet. That's essentially what the concept is. You take a powerful superhero world, and instead of them being good, they're now all nefarious, or not even nefarious. They believe that they should control all. It's kind of like, you know, getting to anime, Dragon Ball Z, you have the Saiyans are very much like that kind of group.
Yeah, it is interesting how they kind of twist that like classic Superman story where like and that's the other thing. It kind of combines like our idea of what aliens were, like alien invasion movies. Like, this is way more along the lines of that than it is superhero, like a Superman story. So that's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I think Kirkman read comics. He was obviously a fan of comics himself. And I think he looked at it and was like, what if I just like create a more realistic comic, take some of the things I love. There's obviously comparisons, you know, in the first season we get introduced to the Justice League. Like, he clearly is taking these concepts and turning them on their heads. And I think that's part of it, is he wants to catch you off guard constantly because he wants you to expect the thing you've been trained to expect in comic books.
Yeah. I want to ask you about this little side plot we got going on here. There's this whole thing with Cecil being like reanimated, and apparently he is
Donald.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Donald. And then, yeah, that's a whole storyline that I'm like, where are we going with this? Like, it's good. It's interesting. I feel like, Donald, like, I was not invested in that character until recently. It's giving me a reason to care about him. But again, I'm just like, what is this? Why is Donald such a big character right now?
Yeah. And again, forgive me, comic book readers, if I'm misremembering things. It's been a bit and it's a lot of series. I don't believe this was like a huge plot. It definitely was a thing. Like, you definitely learned that, like, maybe there's something off with Donald. Maybe he has like, you know, in Marvel, there's the robot versions like that Nick Fury uses. It kind of is that vibe to it. But I like that we're kind of pursuing that. I like that we're dealing with that a lot more. You know, I think that's the thing that the show gets the possibility to do, is like, there's things that were in the background of the comics or things that got some time, but not enough. I think Debbie's another one that how she's doing. It was definitely in there. I don't want to discourage that. But I think Donald's another one where we see him grapple with like, am I alive? Like, what is happening here?
Yeah, no, it's I don't mean that to be a criticism by any means, but like, because I do especially like how, like, I might feel like one story is completely separate, but then they collide in a way that I didn't expect. And that's exciting in and of itself, with, again, like our two big like villain entities. Like, when he shows up at the end of the most recent episode, I'm like, wow, this is it is interesting, because it's like, this is kind of like a college kid. You're like, oh, shit, like my car broke down, but also my girlfriend broke up with me, and it's like two horrible things could be happening at once. And I think it adds to, like, it's a weird I guess parallel to everyday life.
Well, and I think that's something that, yeah, I think this show really deals with. You have to make split second decisions. Like, you have to constantly... Mark is someone that's like, he's trying to do what's right, but what's right? Like, he's just a human. You're gonna make mistakes, and I think we'll see that sometimes he will make mistakes, sometimes he will make the wrong call. And, like, does that make him a bad person? You know, we expect these superheroes. And I like that this series, and it's something that even X-Men dealt with sometimes. It's like, they are at the end of the day just people, and they're just trying to make choices just like you are. Just because they have this power, should they be held accountable just because their mistakes are more damaging than if I, you know, forget to leave, I leave the water on and my water bill is high. Like, oops, that's a mistake, but it doesn't like murder a bunch of people.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Mark kind of pissed me off in this last episode. He's real emotional, I think, like, or he's very grounded in his morals, almost to a very big fault, right? The whole thing is like Anissa is trying to get him to submit and agree to conquer Earth, and like even Cecil's in his earpiece like, dude, just say what you need to say, we'll handle this later. And he's like, no, I will not. And then he gets super punched into the sky again. I'm like, bro, leave your morals at the door for a second. Like, you're gonna die, we need you to protect Earth, and by like you're about to get yourself killed, bro.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with Mark. He is stubborn. You know, at the end of the day, he is half Viltrumite, and he's half humans who are also very stubborn. Like, he probably doesn't have the best qualities. I also think his experience with his dad really affected him. I think he has a hard time. In his mind, the Viltrumites are his dad, and I think he has a hard time getting past that. I don't think it's right by any means, but I think we also have to remember, like, he's what, like maybe 19, 18, like he's not that old. And but I agree with you, it's like, dude, just say what. And I think that's the thing with Cecil, is like Cecil knows how to play the game. He's the little finger. Like, he is your he may not have the powers of superheroes, but you better believe he has made plan A through Z of how what to do if things go wrong. Especially with what happened with Nolan.
Yeah. And sorry to keep harping on like all the episodes you haven't seen, but like, again, we see a lot of that. Dude, this dude is prepared. When something goes down, he's got ideas. He's ready to do something. So I think Cecil's great. I really have enjoyed him. Another, I guess, kind of like the final big storyline to touch on. And this is something that like, this season has really become a bit of a love story between him and Amber, and like the major pitfalls of relationships and like sacrificing love for what you feel is right. And I feel like they've tackled this really, really well. And I think like season one, there was kind of like maybe a bit of a will they, won't they thing. And I was like, I don't, you know, it's just Amber. Like, she's not that important. But like, we're really seeing humanity through Amber's eyes, and not just like how humans feel about the things going on, but also how Mark feels about humans. And like, it does, like, it does show like why he's so morally grounded, right? Like, it's not just important for him to save humanity. It's important for him to just save his girlfriend.
Yeah. I think Amber and his mom is a good example of that too, of like, you know, what happens if you do connect? And I think we see that with Nolan too, a little bit of like, I, you know, there's a reason Nolan stopped. He did care for Mark, and Ken Viltrumite's care is the whole thing. But I also think Mark has the benefit of he is half human, and that matters to him. It, you know, it is the thing with Amber that they did well in this series is I think in the comics it's a lot more like they break up pretty quickly, but I think this felt earned. Like, they tried, they gave it the good old college try. And it's like sometimes trying, and I think that's the thing in relationships, you have to realize is sometimes everything can be like, you could love each other and it's still not enough. And I think that's like with Amber and Mark, it's like, it is a very hard thing to ask Amber to, you know, go through this and be so flexible, so accommodating 24/7. I don't know if I could do it. Like, that would be really annoying. But it's also like, what are you supposed to say? Sorry, Mark, don't go off and save the world. Like it's a really hard choice.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So no, I just kind of put a pin on it. Like, I really, really love Invincible. This is definitely, you know, as much as I love Bad Batch and X-Men's been great, like, this truly is like maybe my favorite show currently on television. I mean, I really love Invincible.
There's not a bad episode. I think that's the thing. I think they're long, but I think it's needed. There's one thing I want to talk about, the lizard fights. I like, you know, people saying that Ant-Man should have got eaten by Thanos. Look at what happens to Rey in that scene. That was incredible. Such a good fight scene.
Yeah, no. That was the other thing I wanted to touch on just real quick. Cause you mentioned, Rexplode dies. he almost dies in the most recent episode. I didn't know if that was part of the story or maybe that was the point where he was supposed to die and he's continued on. Also, we lose Duplicate. That's a sad one. So it's been interesting.
I'm interested to see what happens with all that, because I think like this show, you know, I think you lose Ray too in that. And it's like, who's to say what happens and does it? I think, with Rex, I don't remember what exact point he does. Maybe I'm misremembering. Maybe he does come back again. It's been a bit, guys, but I think that's the nature of this show. I think the Guardians are really interesting to follow because, like, I just want them to be successful. Like, I want them to be the Avengers, and they're like trying, but it's also like they're just as much they're improving, the villains are improving. Like, everyone's getting stronger and better. And I think, to your point about like who the villains is, this show does not like, because that's, sorry, I'm all over the place. The show does not keep villains on bay, because why would they? In real life, criminals are doing things 24/7, and I love that this
and
show
often kinda, at the same time.
Yeah, and I love that show gives this vibe. Like, we have the Lizard League, they're doing their things. We have the Mars people doing their things. Like, there's constantly it is, and then we have Angstrom. Like, there's always something happening, and you just have to be prepared. I mean, there's more. At least there's so many things that even from the first season that haven't been picked up, that like there was that group that came through the portal, like what's happened to them. Like, there, everyone's out there and they're terrifying.
It almost feels like a different genre of storytelling, just like something we've never seen in television before, really. I mean, like, I feel like you know, there's always been shows that kind of change the way shows are made. Like, I would say Sopranos was a big one. I would say Game of Thrones was a big one. These shows that come on and like show us a different way of telling stories on television. And I feel like this is definitely one that like it, sometimes it is kind of jarring because it's not how we're used to seeing these stories presented to us, but it's also really refreshing at the same time. So,
yeah, I mean, have we even really, you tell me, have we even touched on Titan and what he's been up to? The guy who can turn to like, first season, he was such a big deal. We had that whole fight there with, and we got the guy with the lion battle guy. We haven't seen, you know, there's so much going on. And even in this discussion, we haven't even touched on Alan and what's happening over there. Like,
I love Alan. Alan might be one of my favorites.
Alan is great.
Yeah. I think I might have spoiled myself on something involving that character. I won't say anything more for everyone else, but it seems like that might be a big character, so I'm excited.
You know, he's always around, and I think Alan, like, we saw the relationship build between Alan and Mark, and even in, like, episode 5, we see, you know, Alan recruit Mark in, so we think the coalition is definitely going to be a thing. Thaddeus, that was a big reveal, and so there's more going on in the universe.
Well, all right, Tommy, I think we did a damn good job talking about three different shows here, and we're under an hour, so look at us. But Tommy, I think there's something you want to set up, something you want to share with people.
Yes. So, you know, Stark Wars is thriving. We're still here. You know, you may not hear from us all the time, but me and Michael, we're good. We love talking to each other. We love talking about this stuff. But as you know, and talking about this, I do love cartoons, and we've talked about that a lot, and obviously we'll still cover cartoons here, but I'm also covering cartoons elsewhere. Michael, I'm over on, there's a new network starting up called Whirlwind Podcast. It's a bunch of new shows that we have going on over there. Previously on Shameless, they're doing this thing of, they don't want to watch all Shameless, so they're watching only the previously ons and trying to figure out what's going on.
That's a good idea, actually, because I've tried to get into Shameless. I don't think it's for me. Like, I've tried a couple times. I've kind of sold on that idea.
It's fun. They did it with Pretty Little Liars. They were trying to figure out who A is through the previously ons. Really cool concept. They have that going on. They have Inside the TARDIS covering Doctor Who, especially because we're getting new Doctor Who coming out very soon now on Disney. So we're getting that Disney bucks over there in Doctor Who world, and tons of other things they're planning, and tons of other podcasts. They're doing Veronica Mars rewatch. So if you're looking for stuff, come on Whirlwind. But I am doing a podcast called Tuning In with Todd and Tommy, where me and my friend Todd, who has been on this podcast numerous times, will be covering different cartoons. Right now we're doing like season one of a cartoon. There's so much out there, it's hard to do episode by episode, but we're not opposed to sometimes doing that. And then we're basically going bi-weekly, so we're doing a podcast every other week. And then we're also doing one show podcast and then one more big concept podcast. So our first episode, which is out now, actually covers the original X-Men series season one. So you can go there and we discuss all about the shenanigans on that. And then the episode that is coming out next Tuesday is going to be covering live action adaptations, and we discuss what makes a good live action adaptation, and we talk about some of our favorite cartoon to live action. Obviously I think Avatar really inspired this, and One Piece, those two coming out very recently, and I think we get into some really cool discussions about that.
Yeah, Tommy, no, I'm super excited for all that. The live action, I got a lot of opinions on that, so I'm curious to hear what you guys think as well. So yeah, that's super exciting. I'll put that link in the show notes too for people. Y'all just jump right over. You want more X-Men content? It's right there, baby. So make it easy for y'all.
Yeah.
Tommy, what else? Anything you want to close on? I mean, news, recommendations. What have you been doing?
Living. I've been living.
You just told me what you were doing.
Planning a wedding, doing this podcast, running DD. There's good TV out there. I do, you know, I mentioned Avatar. I like, you know, spoilers for the podcast, I like the Avatar adaptation. I think if you want the original, go watch the original. I think what they're doing was perfectly fine. I think it, you know, would I watch it again over the original? Probably not, but I still enjoyed the ride. I'm trying to think of other shows that have come out recently. We, you know, spoilers again, we're going to cover Has Been Hotel at some point on the animation podcast. I thought that was a fun show. You know, if you like musical shows, really fun concept, really cool show that's out there right now.
Yeah. No, super excited for all that. Let's see. What have I've been up to? Nothing really. I guess what else is on TV? Reality TV is booming. Dondi, Deal or No Deal Island. I don't know. You watch that?
Yeah, no, but I've heard our good friend Mr. Boston Rob is
running. It's the Boston Rob show. None of the other characters matter, really.
When isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you watched Shogun? I've heard that. That's on our radar.
Tommy, here's the thing. I was talking to a friend earlier about this. I think I'm just done with, like, if it's not something I'm going to podcast about and it's not reality TV and it's not a movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm watching scripted shows anymore. I can't keep up. There's so many good ones. I wanted to watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I just don't have the time to get to it. I really wanted to watch Shogun. And like somehow, like at this point, I'm like, I guess I'm not going to watch Shogun, but I would love to. It looks so good.
I know, but there's also tons of old shows. Like I'm in my old show phase. I kind of want to watch The Leftovers. I never watched it.
Oh, it's really good. Tell me what you do. Yeah.
I recently, me and my fiance, I didn't tell you this. We started Game of Thrones. She has never watched it. And the only thing she knows is there's a red wedding, but she doesn't know the concept, like what it, like she knows that it's probably a bloody wedding, but she has no idea what it means. It has been so fun. I've recorded her thoughts after every episode. My favorite was we were still like 10 minutes away from the end of the first. And she was like, man, this Bran guy, I can't wait to see him be a big warrior one day. Like, he's so agile. Like, he's moving around all the time. Like, he's going to be great. And I'm like, oh, man, like, just wait 10 more minutes into this episode. So it has been a lot of fun. I watched Walking Dead. I've been rewatching. Let me tell you, Walking Dead gets a bad rap because where it went got a little, it should have ended early. But the beginning of Walking Dead for that time, it was the Breaking Bad of that time, because it was trying to do really complex storylines, seeing Rick go from this like moral police to where he gets to. It's a good show from the beginning.
Dude, I remember I don't remember exactly what the overlap was, but there was a point where Mad Men, Walking Dead, and Breaking Bad were on at the same time. And I was like, this is the golden age of television. These are like, and it's all under AMC. I think AMC has probably had a bit of a fall from grace. Especially now that Better Call Saul's over. I don't know, you know, I don't know how much love they're getting. I will say I've checked out the Rick and Michonne show as well. I watched like the first two episodes. Pretty good. Pretty good.
I've heard good things. Yeah, yeah. I've heard. I think people got soured. I think Fear the Walking Dead, all those other, it got a little much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there's still stuff going on over there. So there you have it. Okay, Tommy. Well, I will close this out here. I like to remind everybody to rate and review this on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And we also have a Discord community going on. If you want to, you know, if you're missing Stark Wars, we're still over on the Discord. You know, come at us. Come talk to us. There's still people chatting in there. So, you know, we may not have a weekly podcast, but we'll definitely be a part of your lives still. Oh, I remember there was one more thing I wanted to say. There is a number one, you have to record the reaction of the Red Wedding when it happens.
Yes, of course.
And number two, there's a, for me, a Red Wedding type thing that happens in The Leftovers. Not necessarily that it's murderous, it's just insanely shocking. So, like, honestly, like, if you get to that episode, I like want to watch it with you.
Okay, it's hard, we'll figure it out. We'll figure out how to make sure that I know what it is.
All right, there we go. We're done. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.